Matthew, first, thank you so much for doing this interview with me. I know it is so busy for you, especially because beginning of Canadian Music Week, I drive in here and literally I had to snap a picture of what I saw outside, yeah. And I had to tweet it because I can't remember the last time I saw fans not just around a block, but around a block and going even more. I think some of these kids are probably standing on the highway just to see you guys tonight.
It's amazing, man. It's such a transition from the idea of, you know, turning up to... Like, in 2011, we couldn't get anyone to come and see our band in Manchester. We couldn't get 10 people. The idea of... We used to turn up and support our friends' bands. We'd see, you know, what, 30 kids outside their shows, and we'd be like, that's going to be so awesome. When, you know, there's like kids who want to be there that early. Now my life is like a really glamorous episode of The Walking Dead. I'm literally stalked by like beautiful people, but stalked all the time. Like, I had to run out of a supermarket 10 minutes ago and there's kids running across the road, nearly getting hit by buses. It's insane. And it's turned into this kind of real pandemonium with our band, you know? I don't need the right to say that. I mean, come to one of our shows and you'll see. Like, we had to stop two songs in Columbus, Ohio last night because kids were... It was like Pearl Jam show. Kids were getting pulled out and throwing each other backwards, and it was insane. There's a real intensity around our fandom and a real kind of unity. So... There seems to be that it's like a scene, man. That's why I get really excited, because I used to go to shows, but I remember like being parts of scenes when I was younger, and you know, that's where everyone goes to hang out for 10 hours before, you know, and all that kind of thing. This feels like a little scene.
What changed, though? Talk about how things started in the beginning, and what do you think made the transition to what this band has become and what this band is becoming in the future?
Well, what it is becoming, it is not really for me to say right now. I have a control over our material, but the way we're perceived is so comes from so many different angles. I wouldn't like to, I suppose, make any predictions, but... We're a confusing band for people because we're very audacious and glamorous, and we our record is very produced. We produced it ourselves, but it is, you know, we're not trying to be Iggy and the Stooges. We were trying to make like a Trevor Horn kind of record. We weren't messing around. And I think that with our band, that kind of confused people because we're four boys from my bedroom who made records in my bedroom with no major label, no anything. We made that record for like 20 grand. And I think we did it right, you know. We didn't get support from all the kind of hipster music press and stuff like that. We just signed to our manager's label that we'd set up ourselves, and we got a good relationship with Radio 1 in the UK early on, with The Specialist, and they started playing our stuff on really, you know, like specialist late night radio. Our first EP, you know, and then people started talking about it. And then what we did, instead of expecting people to invest in us based on nothing, we released four EPs before our album, you know, like four EPs. It's 16 tracks that didn't make it onto the album, that didn't go on the album. So I think that we were defined by the fact that we let kids really, really invest in the band because we gave them so much material.
When the album, not the EPs, yeah. The album went number one, what were your thoughts? Well, because what an introduction to make this happen. And you're right. Great. Do the four EPs first.
Yeah, I think people... Yeah, it was... I was very proud. I was very proud, but it was weird. I get asked this question all the time, right? And I'm always scared of sounding like a depressive, because I always say, like, I was almost kind of... truly unhappy when it happened, because it was the idea that the build up towards that album, everything had outdone itself by the time it got to then anyway. It had become a beast, a monster of something I'd never thought it was going to happen, even by the week before it came out. So when it happened, the fact that it wasn't like Donnie Darko and this thing came out of my chest, and you know, the fact that I didn't feel any different freaked me out, man, because I thought that's what I was looking for. I thought that I was chasing those kind of things. And after I got over that, I realized I was just really proud of what we'd done. We'd got a number one album based on music. How funny is it to be proud of that idea nowadays? That shouldn't be a niche thing to be proud of. A number one album based on just releasing music that people like. You know, we didn't have front covers of magazines. We didn't have any of that. We just had really good support from radio because they liked good songs and people who really invested in us. And now, you know.
Well, how do you make that transition here in Canada? Because when you have Canadians and North Americans who, most of the time, I mean, their vision is boy bands from Britain, boy bands from the UK, boy bands from Europe, not so much as bands, groups, songwriters coming across. How do you make that transition from there to here and letting people know we are a band?
It's, I think that we're very, very lucky because people aren't really into guitar bands that much at the... No, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about at the moment, in the past, whatever. The idea of straight-up guitar bands, you know, like indie-sounding guitar bands, have always been very exciting. But then you've got other guitar bands, like INXS, for example, who weren't like a guitar band, but you knew they were a band that played guitars, but they weren't the Stones, you know. That idea always really kind of titillated me. I was always the idea of kind of a band, but a pop band, you know. And we're very lucky because you've got bands that people do get confused about what it is. Say, I don't know, well, no, Foster the People are so huge they don't need to worry, but they're like, if I asked someone what the lineup of Foster the People is, immediately they'd probably say, I don't know, they've got a keyboard or a... We are obviously four boys with guitars. I sing, play guitar, Adam plays guitar, E plays drums. The way that we write and produce music is very synthetic and done on laptops, but our lineup is very classic, very easy to understand. That's why everyone was like, oh. It's so funny, in the UK it was like, oh, saviors of guitar music. It's like, we don't put the guitars on until the last 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? We're not like a guitar band, but I don't know.
So what's the new album going to sound like, and when is it going to be released? Are we going to get it here in Canada too? Yeah, three questions I just threw at you.
September of next year. I want it to be 2 years exactly from the first one. But I've been saying this all day with because people are starting to get really interested in the new album, and I'm not talking about it for any kind of reason. It's just the fact that I've said this a lot, and I'll say it one more time today. The idea of concepts dictating material is really dangerous. The idea of songs... like our first record was quite conceptual in the way that it was like a soundtrack to our adolescence, to a movie. But that concept was born of the songs that came naturally. We started to realise a concept and a consistency through the songs that were happening naturally. That's what I want with the next record. I don't want to have a concept and write around it. I want songs to happen naturally and for the concept to be dictated. So for me to even talk about it kind of this early on... it's probably slightly dangerous for me because I get really excited about conceptual things and I go too far on one thing. But it's also kind of pointless because I really don't know, man. Like, stuff's happening to me every day and different things are happening. So it'll be finished probably a week before it comes out. And that's September next year. So it's going to change.
Well, I cannot wait for that, my friend. I know we got to wrap this up because you got a show you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
I got to say, I am so happy we did this interview. And I definitely want to do this again when you come back.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime, man. Anytime I'm around.